This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock on this Wednesday afternoon. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be looking back at all of last night's Champions League action, as both Liverpool and Chelsea have both secured qualification for the last 16 of the Champions League after winning in Salzburg and also at home against Lille, respectively. We'll also be looking ahead to tonight's action in the Champions League. Both English sides have already qualified in the form of Manchester City and Tottenham. They're both away from home tonight. We'll be previewing those games as well as all of the other Champions League games, as well as looking at some of the other big stories in the Premier League. Manager watch at Everton, at West Ham and at Arsenal as well. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We're also on WhatsApp. This is the Premier League Fan Show here on Love Sport. So plenty to cover over the next hour. That number again, 0208 7020 558, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon. Let's look back then at last night's Champions League action. Two English sides in action. Liverpool were over in Austria and Chelsea were at home against Lille. Liverpool knew that a point would guarantee qualification, but all 3 points would secure top spot in Group E. For Chelsea in Group H, they knew a win would guarantee them qualification into the knockout stages, although late on it did get a little bit nervy for them. Let's start over in Austria, one of the two early kickoffs. Both Group E games kicked off at the same time as all group stage games do in this final games of the groups. So both games in Group E. The other game was over in Italy, where Napoli were taking on Genk. And for Liverpool, they were over in Austria. And Liverpool ran out 2-0 winners thanks to goals from ex-Salzburg man Naby Keita. Obviously, it was an ex-Salzburg goal created by a former Salzburg man, the former Sadio Mane, and scored by another former Salzburg player in the form of Naby Keita. And Mo Salah scored from a ridiculous angle in the space of just 100 seconds. The two goals came, which secured Liverpool's position at the top of the table. It was a pretty entertaining game. Salzburg were very competitive, as they were in the first game at Anfield, and it was a pretty end-to-end affair in the first half, and both sides creating plenty of opportunities. Mo Salah wasting a number of opportunities in both halves, actually. After the break, Liverpool went on to really exert their authority on the game. Salzburg looked like they ran out of energy. Their intensity dropped off, and Liverpool picked them off, as I said, a 100-second burst, really. Naby Keita scoring the first after some great play by Sadio Mane down the left-hand channel, crossing it into Keita to head home after an impressive display by Naby Keita on the weekend against Bournemouth. Two goals in two games. And then about 60 seconds later, Mo Salah rounded the goalkeeper and then from a very, very tight angle with his weaker right foot managed to put it in the back of the net. And this is considering he probably could have had about 6 or 7 goals last night and missed plenty of easy opportunities. And then he scores the hardest one of them all. But a fairly comfortable win in the end. A very professional, disciplined performance by Liverpool over in Salzburg, which means that Liverpool go through as the group winners in Group E. The other game finished Napoli 4, Genk 0. So a comfortable victory for Napoli. And you'd think, oh, the fans in Naples will be pretty happy with how things are going. Well, just a matter of hours after they won 4-0 and went through to the knockout stages, Carlo Ancelotti was sacked, as had been rumoured for the last couple of days. Gennaro Gattuso is expected to take over in the coming hours, really. He is in Naples. He's taking training this afternoon. So he is set to take over, which I don't really get. A manager of that quality in Ancelotti, why on earth you'd want to get rid of him? But quite clearly, Napoli feel like they need to go down a different route. Ancelotti, speaking of him, has been linked to both the Everton and Arsenal jobs today. It seems like it's a fairly unlikely thing that he'll become the Everton manager. I mean, if they manage to get him, they'd be punching way above their weight. Ancelotti, for me, is a better manager, than miles better manager than where Everton are. I think it makes a lot of sense for Arsenal to go for Carlo Ancelotti. So Group E ends with Liverpool top of the group on 13 points. Napoli in second on 12. Salzburg will go into the Europa League, and I think they're a dangerous side. They're a side to watch out for in the knockout stages of the Europa League. They finished on 7, and Genk finished on bottom with 1. The other English side in action last night were Chelsea. They were at home at Stamford Bridge in the pouring rain against Lille last night, knowing that a win would secure qualification. And they were playing Lille, and for the first 70 minutes probably, it was very, very easy for them. Tammy Abraham scored the first before Cesar Azpilicueta scored the second. And you thought from there, Chelsea were going to go on to win the game very, very easily. But in the latter stages, a goal from former Chelsea man Loic Remy meant that it was a very nervy ending for Chelsea fans. And especially what was going on at the Amsterdam, or should I say, actually the Johan Cruyff Arena now, not the Amsterdam Arena. If Lille had managed to find an equaliser in added time, Loic Remy had the opportunity, and whether it's me being cynical, maybe deliberately didn't score because he didn't want to knock out his former side out of the Champions League, considering Lille couldn't get into the knockout stages. Missed an opportunity. Had that ball gone in the back of the net, it would have sent Chelsea out, because in the other game in the group, a bit of a shock at the Johan Cruyff Arena. It finished Ajax 0, Valencia 1. Which, despite the fact that Ajax won their first two games in the group, find themselves going out. Last season's Champions League semi-finalists, who were fantastic in their journey to the semi-finals, they have been knocked out. It ended in Group H with Valencia top of the table on 11 points. Chelsea also finished on 11 points. They go through in second. Ajax on 10, don't qualify in third. 10 points you'd usually associate as a sort of point tally that probably should get you into the knockout stages. But on this occasion for Ajax, it didn't. Lille, bottom of the group, the worst side, quite considerably. They just got the 1 point. So for Chelsea and for Frank Lampard, they are through into the knockout stage draw. Obviously, as I mentioned, that will take place on Monday morning around 11 o'clock. So all four English sides are into the knockout stages. Talking of the other two English sides that will be in action tonight, they are both qualified. For Manchester City in Group C, they're in one of the early kickoffs at 5:55, like the Liverpool game last night. They're over in Croatia to take on Dinamo Zagreb. The other game in that group, Shakhtar Donetsk against Atalanta. City are already guaranteed a top spot in the group. They've got 11 points from their first five. They have drawn their last couple of games against Donetsk and Atalanta. So City will go through from that group no matter what happens tonight. They're on 11 points, but then the next three, Donetsk, Zagreb and Atalanta, all on 6, 5 and 4. So it is very close between those three sides, all to play for. It feels like the Donetsk-Atalanta game is perhaps where the other qualifier is going to come from. City are without a few players who are out injured, also a few players that aren't going to be risked tonight. There's going to be no David Silva, there's no Sergio Aguero. Potentially an opportunity for Phil Foden to get a start for Manchester City. Eric Garcia could start at the back for City, with John Stones picking up an injury on the weekend against Manchester United. But City are guaranteed top spot no matter what happens in their game over in Zagreb. That's one of those two games in Group C are the two early kickoffs. Then looking in the other game in the group, in Group B, Tottenham are away at Bayern Munich. They're at the Allianz Arena. Obviously, in Group B, it is absolutely seals that the Bayern Munich and Tottenham will go through. And not only will they both go through, they'll go through in the positions that they are currently in. So Bayern Munich, 5 from 5. Maybe a bit of the surprise package about how good and how emphatic they've been so far in these group stages. They will go through top. Tottenham on 10 points. I sort of think, how on earth have they managed to get to 10 points considering how awful a team they are? And they lost 7-2, if you remember, at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. And that was seemingly the beginning of the end for Mauricio Pochettino. How much will that be in the minds of the Spurs players? They were going to be without a number of first-team players today. Just going through a list of players that have either been rested or are injured. Harry Kane, Dele Alli, Jan Vertonghen, Serge Aurier, Hugo Lloris, Ben Davis, Tanguy Ndombele, Harry Winks and Eric Lamella. So an opportunity for some of the young players. But is it worth giving some young players a go if it means getting absolutely battered. I can't imagine Bayern Munich will play a full-strength side tonight because they're guaranteed top spot and they're at home. So I don't think they'll be going full throttle in this game, but Tottenham could be on the receiving end. I think they probably will be on the receiving end of quite heavy beating tonight. Again, the other game in the group, which in theory is pointless, Olympiacos against Red Star Belgrade. Well, it's not actually pointless because one of those sides is fighting for Europa League. So Olympiacos are on 1 point at the bottom of the group. Red Star are on 3 points. So still fighting it out for that final position. The final two groups in Group A, that's also sealed in terms of the top two positions. Nothing really to play for other than the Europa League spot. Club Brugge play Real Madrid. And remember, Brugge were 2-0 up away in Madrid and threw it all away to draw 2-2. So they could have won in Madrid, which could have made this group even more interesting. But Real Madrid will finish second. They're on 8 points at the moment. 5 points behind Paris Saint-Germain, who are at home against Galatasaray, who are bottom. So PSG will go through as group winners. Real Madrid will go through as second. Club Brugge and Galatasaray just separated by the 1 point. So in theory, they're also playing for Europa League spot. In Group D, though, there is still some more interest. Juventus will win the group. They're over in Germany to take on Bayer Leverkusen. In the other game, Atletico Madrid will play Lokomotiv Moscow. Now, this is very interesting because Atletico Madrid are on 7 points. Bayer Leverkusen are on 6. So just 1 point separates them. Remember, Juventus don't really have anything to play for tonight because they've already topped the group. They're away from home in Germany to take on Leverkusen. Atletico Madrid, though, are at home against Lokomotiv. But to think 2 games ago that we'd be in this situation where they're still fighting out for one of the positions was a big, big surprise. You'd have assumed Atletico would have got the job done by now. But as it stands, going with 1 game to go, in theory, Leverkusen could overtake Atletico. But the fact that I think Madrid are at home tonight probably will count against Bayer Leverkusen. So plenty of games still to look forward to. Not much to play for tonight. It's only really Group D, where it's either Atletico or Bayer Leverkusen that will go through. And in Group C, Donetsk, Zagreb and Atalanta playing it out. In Group A and B, the top two spots are sealed. So most, on the whole, generally, it's just Europa League positions to be sorted out. But in those, in Group C and D, still the second place is yet to be decided. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, either looking back at last night's action as Liverpool and Chelsea both secured qualification for the knockout stages, or looking ahead to tonight's game, both Manchester City and Tottenham in action, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We'll be back after this.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to look ahead to some of the fixtures tonight in the Champions League over at the Allianz Arena in Munich. It is Bayern Munich against Tottenham in Group B. Both of the top two spots are sealed, but what do the two sides have to play for? I'm delighted to say we are joined by Lee McQueen from Last Word on Spurs. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Lee. I'm sure you won't want to think about it, but obviously the media talk about it, that the last time these two sides met was the 7-2 drubbing at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. How much is it in your mind going into this game, and how much do you think it will be on the mind of the Spurs players tonight?
Yeah, it's a good point actually. Hope you're well, Kieran, by the way. Good to talk to you again. I don't think it will be actually. I think because of the new regime with Jose coming in and his coaching staff, and you know the fact that a lot of the senior players that played that night won't be playing this evening because Jose's already said that he's left a few of them behind anyway, and he's also going to play some of the youngsters. So I don't think it'll be in our mind too much. I think that sometimes when you look back, you can overanalyze, and you know, and I don't think we need to do that. It's a new way of playing now, a new regime, and we need to look forward. Like you mentioned before, you know, we've already qualified. We can't finish first. We can only finish second. And so what we can play for tonight is experience and getting some experience in them young legs of some of them young lads.
As you mentioned there, Lee, a number of players won't be available either through injury or have been rested. You go through the list: Kane, Ali, Vertonghen, Aurier, Lloris, Davis, Ndombele, Winks, Lamella. Do you think, I can't imagine Bayern Munich will go full strength tonight because what's the point? They're top of the table. They don't need to potentially risk any injuries. But do you think there's a risk that with a lot of these young players, and it obviously will be an experience for them, they'd have never experienced anything like this playing at the Allianz Arena against the German giants that are Bayern Munich. But do you think there's a risk that if tonight doesn't go well in terms of getting another drubbing, that that could kind of work in a negative way rather than working as an experience sort of for them?
Yeah, I mean, you know me by now, Kieran. I'm not that way inclined to think negatively, am I? But Now, ultimately, I think I think it's the opposite way around. I think we played them in the Audi Cup. I know it's completely pre-season, but we did. And some of the youngsters, I think Jaffet will get a run out tonight, which would be absolutely brilliant. I think he played during that pre-season as well. I think Troy got a run out in pre-season. And so, therefore, you know, it is a totally different experience in competitive football. But I don't think they'll be daunted by that. So there is always a worry in the back of your mind, isn't there? But, you know, is this going to break the kids before they've even started? But at the end of the day, you know, if they're good enough, they're old enough. And actually, how do you get that experience if you don't go through that? And I'm a firm believer in, you know, that we probably will learn from some of the key mistakes that we made against the 7-2 drubbing. But like you said, I think Bayern Munich will be quite changed up as well. So they're struggling at the moment, aren't they? In Bayern Munich terms, they're struggling at the moment in their own league. So I think that this gives them an opportunity to be able to almost treat it in the same sort of way as the pre-season friendly. So I think it's an exciting game. I think it'd be brilliant to see the young lads get a run out and see what we can do. Hopefully, we'll be able to get a win or certainly not lose, and that'll be the objective, I think.
As we've mentioned, Lee, there are going to be plenty of changes probably for both sides. In terms of not just the Tottenham youngsters, but other players that might get a go, who are you looking forward to seeing tonight? Who do you think maybe has a point to prove, not just kind of young players, because that's obviously the easy answer to come to, but other players that may have an opportunity tonight to really state their claim, to show what they're made of?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm really excited to see Sessegnon. I think he's been rolled out at the press conference yesterday, so he's definitely going to start, I would have thought. So I'm really excited to see Ryan in the side. I'm genuinely excited to see KWP as well. I'm really hoping that he gets a good run out as well, because for whatever reason, his career started to stumble, even under Pochettino. And I say even because Pochettino's got his brilliant reputation of bringing youngsters through, as we all know. But there was something not quite right with KWP. So it gives him an opportunity to show what he can do under the new regime as well. And again, he won't be that phased because he played most of the game in the new camp last year in the Champions League when the actual result meant something. He famously made that mistake, didn't he, right at the beginning of the game, but recovered quite well from it. So I'm excited to see him. Obviously, everybody will be talking about Troy Parrott up front. You know, he's got incredible ability, and again, only 17 years old. So thinking about that is quite interesting. But one that I will throw out there, which I hope that I'm not wrong on, is that he plays Eric Dier, because I think Eric Dier is the guy that is Jose's going to turn to be our kind of like holding midfielder again, and he needs to get back up to speed or back up to form as he was pre-injury and pre-illness. You know, like he's had dogged him over the last kind of 12, 14 months or so. So he'd be a kind of a senior figure in that side tonight as well. So hopefully that'll be the case. It'd be quite nice to see one of the young goalkeepers have a go as well, but I'm not sure that he'll throw them in.
You mentioned there about Troy Parrott, and I believe in recent weeks and months he's been linked with moves to Dortmund, actually also to Bayern Munich, the team that Tottenham are coming up against tonight. Do you think that he is likely to start tonight? And if he does, what sort of a player can we expect? What sort of a striker in comparison? Obviously, it's unfair to compare him to Harry Kane, but in terms of his style, what will he bring to this Tottenham side?
Well, I think the links are there because of the opposition that we're playing tonight, if I'm honest. I think he's only got 18 months left on the contract that he's actually got at Tottenham. So it is a rife opportunity now to start talking to him about a new one and put them transfer rumours to bed. I'll leave that to the other lads, Jamie and Ricky, to talk about the transfer rumours on Last Word on Spurs for sure. But I think for me, the type of striker he is, again, it's quite easy to kind of go, oh, he's another Robbie Keane, isn't he? But, you know, the way that he runs in behind and plays on that shoulder is very technically gifted as well. I think that he is that type of Robbie Keane-type striker, so he does bring something slightly different. To be honest, Kieran, I do hope he starts. Because there's a lot of talk about Troy, and I think he can handle it. I think he's one of these youngsters that we've seen so many now come through, not just at Spurs, but all football clubs, really, that burst onto the scene, and I think he can handle it. So it'd be a brilliant test for him tonight.
You've also mentioned about Ryan Sessegnon there, Lee. Obviously made that move for £25 million and seemingly was carrying a bit of an injury, and Pochettino said when he was in charge that it was going to take him quite a while to get up to speed. Where do you see his long-term position in this side? Because even though he shot onto the scene at Fulham as a left-back, I think the common thought is he is more capable going forward than he is actually defensively. Do you think there is also a position for him in this team, or is he going to have to remain patient to get in order to get a consistent run in this side?
Well, I think the two questions are linked. They're linked, to be honest, because it really does depend on where he plays. I think the way Jose is set up now, he likes that kind of lopsided defence, and it works kind of perfectly with Jan Vertonghen in there, because he is a centre-back by trade, but actually does push out and play sometimes for his country on the left-hand side. So he's been playing as a left-back, giving that lopsided, giving Aurier on the right-hand side that kind of freedom to go forward. If you was to bring in a Ryan Sessegnon and play him as a left-back, that system would change because of the points that you've just made. I don't think Aurier can defend. I don't think he can defend at all, to be honest. But I don't think Aurier can defend that well. And the point you just made is Sessegnon doesn't defend as well as he attacks. So that system would change. So if you bring him as a left-back, if you bring him in and plays him as a winger, which I think that's where Jose is saying, he mentioned at his press conference yesterday that he's going to play him as a left-winger when he starts to get into the side. He's got a tough time on his hands, Ryan, and he will have to be patient because Son is on absolute fire at the moment, and he's playing on that left-hand side and coming in from that left. So I wouldn't envisage a team with Jose being set up where he's got a Ryan Sessegnon and a Son both playing down that left-hand side. So unless you move Son inside to replace a Kane or in behind, so it changes the system quite a lot. So I suppose my gut feeling with Ryan Sessegnon is I want to see him. I think he's very, very exciting. I think he's brilliant. I think the perfect system for him would be if we played a three at the back, and therefore he would drop in as a kind of a left wing back, if you like. But only time will tell. I think he will have to be patient, if I'm honest.
And just finally, moving slightly away from the Champions League, back into the Premier League, Tottenham won again comfortably on the weekend against Burnley, bouncing back from losing at Manchester United. Tottenham currently seventh place on 23 points. They're just 1 point off fifth and sixth, United and Wolves. Just 6 points actually now off Chelsea. They've gone through a bad patch, three defeats in their last four. Do you think that run for Chelsea has maybe slightly opened the door for the likes of United and Tottenham, who have made quite poor starts this season? They've been heavily criticised, but actually their form may have opened an opportunity that may not have seemed to be opening a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, firstly, a comment on the Burnley guy, I thought was outstanding from start to finish, from back to front, all over the pitch. I thought we were excellent. If Tottenham and Jose and the team can actually cut out silly mistakes, then we'd be there or thereabouts. It's actually worked out that Jose, it doesn't take a genius to work out that he's played five games and only lost once. He's got an 80% win rate at the moment. And if he carries that on in the Premier League, we'll end up with about 77 points. And that gets us in the top four. Or history tells us that will get us in the top four over the last 15 seasons or something like that. So I think we will be there or thereabouts. I think that at the moment, we've got so many fixtures coming up, what everybody in the Premier League has, over this kind of period, which is really exciting as fans. I love this Christmas period. That's, going and playing every 3 days and that sort of stuff. So huge amounts of points up for grabs. I think there's 18 points that we can grab between now and the first FA Cup third round tie. And that's really the leveler. That's really where you're going to see. I mean, I was on the on our fan show on Love Sport with Charlie and the boys a couple of weeks back, and I said, "Oh, Leicester would drop off. They won't get top four," and that just looks like a ridiculous comment. So what do I know? But I do think that what's proved this week, just in alone, when there's fixtures coming thick and fast in the Premier League, Manchester United beating Tottenham pretty comfortably, and then going to do the same at Man City. Who would have predicted that the week before? And everyone's talking about Poch going there and, Ollie's, going to get fired. And now all of a sudden, he's got two wins out of two and then big fixtures. So things can happen. And like you just said with Chelsea, they were 12 points clear, of Tottenham only 2 weeks ago. And now the gap is now six. So they're definitely catchable. And there's a lot of football to be played. And I think, like I said before on the show, on plenty of Love Sport shows and the last one on Spurs fan shows, it's a crazy train. It's a crazy ride. Football is brilliant, and it's a crazy ride with Jose, at the club now. And we've got to enjoy it. And, you're going to have hiccups. He hasn't come in and just, wave the magic wand, you know, our defending has been horrific for the whole calendar year. So for him to come in and get four wins out of five, that's actually a really good result. So let's embrace it and enjoy it.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Lee. That was Lee McQueen from Last Word on Spurs. As he mentioned there, the Spurs fans, you can catch it on Love Sport every Thursday evening between 7 and 9 o'clock with the Spurs, with obviously Last Word on Spurs and the magnificent Charlie Hawkins as well. So make sure, Spurs fans, you listen into that. They're away at Bayern Munich tonight. And yeah, it's an interesting one because Bayern Munich won't go full strength. You look at the predicted size tonight for Bayern Munich. They're set to go. I mean, you look at it. The predicted side here is a pretty strong one for Bayern Munich. Manuel Neuer in goal, Benjamin Pavard, Jerome Boateng, David Alaba, and Alphonso Davies, Joshua Kimmich, Serge Gnabry, Leon Goretzka, Kingsley Coman, Thomas Müller, and Robert Lewandowski. So that's pretty close, if not at full strength, for Bayern Munich. Tottenham obviously are going to make plenty of changes, some opportunities for some youngsters, also opportunities for new signings, Ryan Sessegnon, Giovanni Lo Celso, who haven't really featured much this season, as well as some fringe players as well. So Spurs' game is at 8 o'clock tonight in Group B against Bayern Munich. Obviously that group is sealed. Bayern Munich will top it and Tottenham will finish second. If you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. And I just wanted to obviously remind you of the big news from Love Sport is that from this Monday, you'll be able to get Love Sport across the UK on national digital radio. Yes, we are going national. So wherever you are in the UK, you don't just need to be in London. You can be anywhere from the north to the south. You'll be able to listen to us live across the UK on digital radio from Monday. Plus, there'll be lots more new fan shows coming soon too. So make sure, obviously, you stay with us here on Love Sport. And obviously, it's fantastic news for us that we're going national on Monday. So it doesn't matter where you are across the UK, you can listen to us on digital radio. We'll be back after this.
This is Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Let's then cover all sorts of stories, both Champions League and in the Premier League. Just a reminder, obviously, of last night's action. The two English sides in action over in Austria. Liverpool knew they had to get 1 point to secure qualification, 3 points to top Group E, and Liverpool won by 2-0 away in Salzburg. I think what I've seen from Salzburg is a good young side there that I think can go places. The most difficult thing for a club like Salzburg is keeping hold of these players, because obviously the main one is Erling Braut Haaland, who's been linked to seemingly every single European football club over the last couple of months. So that's their biggest challenge, but they've got a good ground there. They've got great training facilities. I was reading yesterday a really interesting article on how Liverpool's new training complex, some of it is being is taking influence from the Salzburg training complex. So they've quite clearly got a lot of good things going there. They've produced a lot of good players, and as I mentioned earlier, Liverpool's first goal came from two former Salzburg players. It was assisted by Sadio Mane, scored by Naby Keita. So that over the years, that they've produced a lot of really good players. And so I think they're a good side. And as I said, they go into the Europa League draw. They're a dangerous side, and I think they'll prove a real challenge for a lot of top sides that are still in the Europa League, and those sides that drop out of the Champions League and go down into the Europa League. But it was a very professional, very disciplined performance from Liverpool last night. I mean, how on earth Mo Salah didn't score 6 or 7 last night? But we can understand that, and we get frustrated, but obviously we know that Salah scores so many goals that we can forgive him for missing some absolute sitters. Last night he missed 5 or 6 absolute golden opportunities, and then he scores the hardest by a country mile. But another good performance by Liverpool all across the side. There were lots of players that could stand up and say they had a really good game. Mane and Salah were fantastic in the front three. It was a slight off night actually for Roberto Firmino. The midfield worked brilliantly. Obviously Liverpool without Fabinho at the moment, but Henderson controlled things brilliantly from the pivot. Wijnaldum played brilliantly. Naby Keita was fantastic, and he was on the weekend, and I really want to see him get a run of games in the side, because it has been a very stop-start to his Liverpool career. Obviously, he was signed from Leipzig for £52 million a year ahead of signing. There was a lot of excitement. Came in last season, started really well, then had a number of injuries. He was just constantly kind of being in the side a couple of games, then being out. quite often was on the bench and only getting cameos. And it has been a frustrating start to his Liverpool career. But I think over the last week, we've started to see a more consistent Naby Keita really making an impact. And with Fabinho being out, I think I want to see Naby Keita play week in, week out. Obviously, during this period, you're going to have to make changes. You're going to have to freshen things up. And again, Jurgen Klopp did that with a few changes. But I want to see him get a run of games, because he is the perfect Jurgen Klopp type of midfielder. High energy, high intensity, highly mobile, that will contribute both ways. He was getting involved going forward, scored yesterday, got a goal and assist on the weekend, but also works, tracks back and intercepts the ball really well. So I want to see him get a run of games in the side. But it was overall a really good night for Liverpool, obviously getting through into the knockout stages and topping Group E. But Liverpool proved last season, finishing second in their group with PSG and Napoli, that you can obviously finish second and still go on to win the Champions League. So it's not the be-all and end-all, but obviously being top of the group is helpful. So a really good night for Liverpool. In the end, a good night for Chelsea, although the final 10 or 15 minutes certainly would have been very nervy for Chelsea fans at Stamford Bridge, knowing, and I'm sure they'd have known in modern technology terms, what was going on over in Amsterdam, that had Lille scored near the end of that game and it finished 2-2, that would have knocked Chelsea out of the competition last night and would have sent them into the Europa League. So it would have been a nervy period. Chelsea really should have had the game done and dusted after about 70 minutes, but credit to Lille for sticking in the game. But the big shock is Ajax going out in the knockout stages. This was one of the big stories of last season's Champions League. Got to the semi-finals and were, well, within 35 minutes of, well, sorry, actually not even 35 minutes, within about a minute of qualifying for the knockout stages. They looked absolutely comfortable an hour into that second leg against Tottenham, and Lucas Moura scored a hat-trick to turn the game around. So that's a huge shock that they've gone out. And after three or four games, Ajax won their first two, and it looked like they were absolutely guaranteed qualification. And it's Valencia that topped Group H, and Chelsea going through in second. And let's just go through some of the other Premier League-related stories. The first story is related to the Champions League. Ancelotti top of Everton list after Pereira drops out is the headline in the Telegraph today. Vitor Pereira ruled himself out of contention. I think there are potentially 25 million reasons why maybe he's turned that down, also because Everton aren't very good. So that's probably two major reasons why he didn't go for that. David Moyes is still regarded now as the favourite now that Vitor Pereira has ruled himself out of contention for that job. That would probably be on a short-term basis until the end of the season. But Carlo Ancelotti's name is now into the mix. He was sacked ridiculously, in my opinion. There may be a lot of things going on, a lot of problems in Naples. Ancelotti most certainly isn't one of them. This is a top manager that has won really everything to be won in the game. And so I was very surprised that he has gone, especially after beating Genk 4-0 and qualifying for the knockout stages last night. He is in contention for both the Everton and the Arsenal jobs. I think Everton would be punching massively above their weight if they were to get Ancelotti. I think that would be a significant coup for Everton if they were able to get him. Personally, I think he can get a much bigger job than Everton. It seems Ancelotti would be a good fit for Arsenal and should be the main target that they should be going for. But the suggestion is Ancelotti may not be at the top. John Cross in the Mirror was suggesting that there could be as many as 10 candidates being interviewed. My goodness, you've got that many on a shortlist, which shows there isn't necessarily a clear thinking as to exactly what they want. And also, it's now been a few weeks since Unai Emery's gone. It's not exactly moving on, and they haven't decided. They've not made the decision. If they'd made the decision to say, right, Freddie Ljungberg's taking us to the end of the season and then we're going to appoint someone in the summer, then this would be completely understandable because they'd have months to do this. But they haven't said that, and they are looking for a man that can come in straight away. And so it seems strange that they are waiting around. Another manager in the Premier League that is facing a troubled time is Manuel Pellegrini. He faces D-Day on the weekend as they travel to Southampton. It feels like that is last chance saloon. The manager's linked with it. Kind of the same old names. David Moyes has been linked with it. Chris Hughton, Rafa Benitez, Eddie Howe have all been linked with the West Ham job. The Southampton game on the weekend, is that enough to keep his job? Maybe if they win, he will. Anything else may result in Pellegrini getting the sack. Remember, because of Liverpool's involvement in the Club World Cup, Their game against West Ham has been postponed the weekend after next, meaning that West Ham have a decent break, actually quite a long gap between the Southampton game and Boxing Day. So they do have a decent period of a couple of weeks nearly to potentially make a managerial change. Interestingly, Roman Abramovich at Chelsea is believed to have turned down another offer to sell Chelsea after a takeover approach was tabled by an American financier who part owns the LA Dodgers. Todd Boehly is that man. Apparently, Abramovich values the club at around $3 billion. Interesting to see whether, obviously, he sells the club, isn't allowed to be in the country at the moment, Roman Abramovich. Will he continue to want to own Chelsea Football Club? Looking at some of the other stories that are around, obviously City are in action tonight in the Champions League. Interesting to see some of the comments by Ilkay Gundogan, and I'm sure we'll get the views of Ian Cheeseman very, very soon on that. That maybe he admitted that maybe the team have lost their focus, which is a surprise to hear someone publicly admit something like that. City have set, obviously, phenomenal levels over the last couple of seasons, getting 198 points across the last two Premier League seasons. But it's a very big surprise to see that they've lost, because what we would normally associate with all the top sportsmen or women or sports teams is that constant drive and determination to be more successful, the hunger, the greed, really, to go and win more. That once you get that taste of success, once you win a few trophies, you just want to win more and more and more. You're not satisfied with just winning a couple of trophies. You want to continually add trophies. So very interesting to hear his comments. Also, what will be very interesting is to see Phil Foden. He is expected to start for Manchester City tonight. Obviously, everyone in England is wondering whether he's the next big thing. And obviously, we've seen him play in patches for Manchester City, and he looks like a phenomenal talent. England fans have been wanting him to get more game time. Now, David Silva obviously is leaving Manchester City at the end of the season. The big question is, will he fill that void? My opinion is, I don't think City would are not going to not sign someone to replace him. I can't imagine they will just put Phil Foden in there and not look to spend money to bring in someone is in it as a replacement for David Silva. It would seem a surprise that City would do that. This kid has quite clearly got a lot of talent, and City needs to be careful, because if he doesn't get a run of games, and if he isn't seen as the heir apparent to David Silva, he will have to consider his options, like Jadon Sancho did. Now, I know, and my mother will tell me this as a Manchester City fan herself, that the story is a bit different between Foden and Sancho, because Foden is a Mancunian, he's a Manchester City boy through and through, whereas obviously Jadon Sancho is from London. So there is a slightly different affinity to the club for Phil Foden as there is for Sancho. But he knows how good he is, Phil Foden. We don't want to put too much pressure on him, but we know he's a phenomenal talent. He has to ask himself that serious question probably next summer, or maybe a year after that. Is City his long-term option? Is he going to play week in, week out in a regular position in that side? Tonight, he's probably going to get that opportunity. Will he get a consistent run of the games at the moment? No, he won't. But tonight is probably his opportunity to show Pep Guardiola just how good he is on the Champions League stage. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 7020 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. So make sure you get in touch with us this afternoon. And also, we can bring you some fantastic news here from Love Sport. We are going national on Monday, so it doesn't matter where you are across the UK, you can listen to us on national digital radio. Whether you're coming to and from work or going to and from games on the weekend, you can listen to us up and down the country, live across the UK on digital radio from Monday. Plus, there'll be lots more new fan shows coming soon too. So make sure you stay tuned here to Love Sport. We are going national from Monday. We'll be back after this.
Love Sport.
Welcome back to the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We've already talked about Tottenham's game over in Munich tonight. The other English side in action, they've already sealed top spot in their group, in Group C. Talking all things Manchester City now, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Ian Cheeseman from the Forever Blue podcast. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Ian. I think you are out there even watching the under-19s as we speak, ahead of, obviously, the first team being in action later tonight. City are obviously qualified, as I mentioned, from Group C. They also have already sealed top spots. So realistically, what are City playing for tonight?
Nothing, really. They're playing for pride, obviously. In theory, they're playing for... Well, not in theory, because Pep Guardiola has said this, and I wouldn't expect anything less. But they're playing for the integrity of the group, because Zagreb can still qualify. They have to win. But the other teams in the group, like Shakhtar, who can also go through, won't want City to just lie down tonight and play an extremely weak team that's disinterested and let Zagreb win and allow them to progress to the next round of the competition. And if it was the other way around and City were hoping another team who'd already qualified had to beat somebody or play well against them to try and give them a hand, they'd expect that game to be played with integrity and expect City to do the same tonight. Though, of course, it will be a weaker team because of injuries, etc. John Stones being the latest of the central defenders, for example, to have issues. So I would imagine that we might see the likes of Taylor Bellis tonight, Taylor Harwood-Bellis and Eric Garcia playing in central defence, which might be seen as weakening the team deliberately. But I think that's just where City are at the moment.
I wanted to get your views then, Ian, on a couple of youngsters, as you mentioned, that are set to be given a chance tonight. Eric Garcia is expected to start. Phil Foden as well. And we were talking about it just a few minutes ago, about how it's a crucial period with David Silva leaving at the end of the season, an opportunity for him to perhaps stamp his authority on this side. How much will tonight's sort of performance go into Pep Guardiola's thinking going forward, or is it because it's a game where it doesn't really matter that much to Manchester City that what happens tonight won't really influence him going forward?
Well, of course, you know, he'll be looking at every player and every contribution. I saw some quotes from Pep just in the last couple of days acknowledging that even though he's described him as one of the best young players he's ever worked with and compared him to Xavi and Iniesta when he was in the youth setup at Barcelona, he said all that, but he still questioned Foden, for example, and said that maybe he still had some things to learn. And the evidence of that is that even in this injury crisis, because that's what you want to call it, I'm not sure it really is that, but certainly with one or two key injuries, Foden really hasn't had much of a chance. He's played cameo appearances as a substitute generally. May well play against Oxford, for example, next midweek in the Carabao Cup quarter final, but he's not generally started in the big games. And if Pep thought he was ready, then I'm sure that he would play in those games, particularly because of City's inconsistency of results. So I think he still sees him as a player with something to learn. But every minute that he gets, he played at Shakhtar in a full, I think it was a full 90 minutes, certainly started the game at Shakhtar a couple of years ago. So that's how long ago he's been having these chances. Tonight he'll probably get 90 minutes in another Champions League game. But what it'll prove, I'm not quite sure, because I'm not even sure how Zagreb are going to take this. Because they're not actually the favourites to go through in second place. Shakhtar, if they beat Atalanta, will go through. So you wonder if you're a Zagreb fan, you're thinking, well, first of all, we've got to beat Manchester City and then rely on another result elsewhere. So be interesting to see how motivated they are tonight.
I wanted to get your views, Ian, on a few of the comments made from some of the players and also the manager, Pep Guardiola, starting with Ilkay Gundogan, who's admitted that there may have been a loss of focus within this Manchester City side, which came as a real surprise to me, because you look at the City side, the standards they've set over the last couple of years, they've obtained 198 points, which is a phenomenal record over the last couple of seasons. And a common trait of all great sporting sides is a motivation to keep winning, that greed for more success. So are you surprised to hear those comments from Gundogan?
Well, I suppose he's just being honest. They've won a lot of major trophies recently. I mean, they won three, the domestic treble last season, as well as the previous season winning the Premier League. And as a human being, in whatever walk of life you are, there is a danger unless you're hugely, hugely self-focused, which you hope that, of course, every top footballer is, but every performer in any walk of life has to be. You know, how do you keep that attitude to be right at the edge? I mean, nobody would question that they're not trying or anything like that, but you only have to take 5% out of your attitude to not be quite perhaps what you once were. But there are so many factors that have led to this season. I don't think you can put it down purely to that, but it is a factor. I mean, even after City won the title the first time under Pep, you know, he wondered whether doing a back-to-back might be too much for them. And they did it in the end. But to keep doing that, you know, Fergie and United did it for years, which has to be admired. Liverpool did it in the 80s when they were winning titles left, right and centre. It is to be admired. But as a human being, to keep performing at your absolute peak week after week, every single game, can't be easy, you know, no matter how talented you are. So that coupled with injuries and you know, having to move players into unnatural positions is probably the reason why City are not quite what they were. The under-19 games you just spoke of is finished, and City have lost here 1-0, so they're out of this competition for this season.
Pep Guardiola said in the last week, Ian, that City are struggling or will struggle to deal with Europe's elite. Now, Manchester City has spent £700 million under Pep Guardiola. So what's he really getting at there? Because a lot of people are looking at and thinking, well, City have spent a lot of money under Guardiola. So does he really have a leg to stand on when he makes those comments?
I understand those views and the analysis of City is always going to be touched with how much money they've spent. Although in reality, other teams around them have also spent similar amounts. I mean, it's the reality of the world we live in. You have to spend a lot of money. But, you know, you do look sometimes at one or two of the signings. Cancelo, a right back, for example, was a lot of money in the summer. And you think, well, was that really what City needed? And when you don't win games and you don't win competitions, that's when the money card is played, especially if you've not signed players that then become stars at the team. And Cancelo hasn't even been getting into the team in the big games because it's been Kyle Walker that's been getting the nod. He's just one example. Obviously, Rodri's come in the summer to play in the central defensive midfield role. That's the role that Pep sees him playing in. But Fernandinho was super, you know, top class the last 2 years. So those are the reasons why you perhaps look around and think, well, you know, has he spent the money wisely? Not that spending the money per se that's the problem, because you have to spend money to be at the top table in world football. But it's how you spend it. And that's the one question at the moment that needs answering.
And just finally, Ian, despite what Pep Guardiola said about the fact that City are pretty unlucky, I think he said City aren't going to be signing anyone in January, merely 24 hours after that, rumours started to emerge of City's interest in Nathan Ake, supposedly being rivaled by Chelsea of a buyback clause in his contract. Now, I'm guessing that City's interest in Nathan Ake will be probably determined by whether he has picked up a serious injury on the weekend against Liverpool, because surely City aren't going to buy Nathan Ake if he's injured, considering Laporte's still at least a month away from coming back to full fitness.
Well, obviously, Pep, you're right. You know, was quite adamant. In fact, I was at that press conference when somebody said, are you going to be signing anybody in January? Nope. And it was a very quick, short, terse answer like that. He seems to be a person, Pep, who, when he says something, is determined to show he's not for turning. You know, he won't change the way that his team plays, for example. I'm not saying he should necessarily, but he's very determined not to do that. So my guess is that if he says they're not going to sign anybody, then they won't. But there is an awful lot of pressure at the moment on City. And if they were to lose another couple of games, it's hard to believe that they would go out and try and sign somebody in January. And obviously Ake, if they were to sign him, isn't Champions League Cup tied. And if the focus now for the remaining games of the season, since the Premier League title race seems to be over as far as City are concerned, even though we all know statistically they could close that gap, but realistically it doesn't look possible, then the Champions League becomes the number one priority. And if they're going to have a run and win that, then I do think that they need to sign some quality reinforcements, starting with a top quality defender. And Ake can fit the bill because he's not cup tied.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Ian. That was Ian Cheeseman from the Forever Blue podcast. He's out there over in Zagreb watching. He was just talking there about City losing 1-0 actually in the UEFA Youth League, the under-19s, which has knocked them out. City are in action in pretty much exactly 4 hours' time at 5:55 over in Zagreb. They know that they're already through. Ian's answer there was pretty abrupt. The first question, what does City have to play for tonight? Nothing. Well, I think they do. They have their personal pride as well as playing, obviously, for the fans. It's an opportunity for some youngsters tonight. Eric Garcia is expected to start at centre-back. Phil Foden is expected to start in midfield. Interesting, those comments by Guardiola. He says that City aren't going to make any signings, and yet 24 hours later, rumours emerge of their interest in Nathan Ake, and also Guardiola whinging about how he can't compete with Europe's elite. Well, you spent £700 million during your reign. doesn't sound like you're not on a level playing field. It sounds a bit like a petty excuse, but we'll have to wait and see on that one.
This is Love Sport.